In partnership with AnnaValleyShook.com, it's The Ghost Show, your original top 100 podcast for college football. Coming at you, midweek edition, breaking down Florida, LSU victory over the Florida Gators, Saturday night in Tiger Stadium in front of 102,000 people, 35-28. I'm Kerry Munch, your host. Patrick Morris, what's up?
Yo, happy camper here.
Happy camper. Happy Back to the Future Day, Patrick. As we record this show midweek, it is Back to the Future Day, October 21st, 2015.
And the Cubs are losing 3-0. There you go.
Oh, that prediction is not going to come to fruition.
Make it 4-0.
Oh, my damn. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my damn. All right, we are the original LSU podcast, as stated above. Ways to get in touch with the show. You can tweet at the show, at me, at GoShowCarry. You can tweet at the website and AnnaValleyShook.com at Valley Shook. Patrick Morris is at Cat Godfather, K-A-T-T Godfather. I just went ahead and filled that in for your time, Patrick.
Appreciate that.
No problem. That's what I do. That's what I do. Podcat, pushing the buttons behind the scenes. The man, the myth, the legend. Strange, attractive women coming up the podcast at the tailgate, who know him from his Twitter feed, talking to him. I didn't have the heart to go interrupt the conversation. I couldn't do that to my boy. Could not do it to my boy on Saturday. Patrick, I don't even know if you noticed that.
I did not even notice it. Of course, I was a little bit,
dude, I don't want to hear that. It was early in the morning. It was like, you're talking like 9:30-ish.
Oh, well, so, then, heck, I wasn't awake yet then. There's my excuse.
Then, but I'll be honest with you. I wouldn't doubt that you were probably lit at 9:30 in the morning.
Lightweight. Right. You know.
Hey, like the show on Facebook as well. The Facebook likes have been coming on strong, man. We've been getting a couple three every week, every week, and you know, ramping up the activity, trying to ramp up the activity when I can, as much as I can. Feel free to you know, if you like the Facebook page, feel free to throw out some questions to me as well. I'll be more than happy to enlighten you with my expert opinion. So LSU wins 35-28. On a beautiful, beautiful, crisp night in Tiger Stadium. Really kind of a, you know, I say man because it was like, Florida, we muffed a punt in Florida, you know, scores right away. When did they start this rule about you can't advance a fumble punt?
It's been in there for a while.
That's stupid.
It is stupid, but it's been in there for a while.
Has it really?
Yes.
Okay. All right. I had no idea.
Never understood why they put that crap in. But
I feel like I feel like Donovan McNabb, but he didn't know an NFL overtime game can end in a tie.
I mean, there you go.
I mean, I thought for sure you fumble a punt, it's free game. You pick up the ball and you run with it. I don't know, but anyway. So anyway, Florida gets the ball. It's dead right there on the spot, which was like inside the 10 to begin with. And come to find out, I didn't even notice until I watched the replay because I wasn't in the stands yet. Obviously, of course. We can't even make it to the stands for the good games. But they scored a 4th-and-1. So they jump out 7-0, but then LSU kind of takes control for net. From all intents and purposes, man, against that defense, we were kind of – last week, Patrick, we were kind of like touch and go. What's going to happen with this? You know, this is the best defense we faced at this point. We kind of answered that. He went 31 carries, 180 yards, like right under 6 yards a carry. A couple touchdowns. He did his thing. And then the last, like, 5 minutes of the first half were, like, action-packed. Completely action-packed. So, and then, of course, the third quarter did not go as I would have liked. I forced Patrick to walk down to the concession area, I think. I don't know if you walked down the concession
area. No, trust me. I walked down. I was not a happy camper. I couldn't take it up there anymore. It wasn't you. It was more so the way things were going. Just needed to change some mojo up. So
Joe LeBot yelled at me. Like,
what?
Downright just like, because I was too negative.
Too negative. Mr. Negativity himself.
Like, and I got to be honest with you. I need to, and I doubt anybody that sits around us listens to this show. I don't even know if they know if we do a show, and I guarantee they don't because half of them are like, there's only like six of them that are consistently there.
Yeah.
My language in the third quarter, not good. Just not good.
No, I think, it wasn't good.
It was a mix of a lot of things, really, for me. It was, you end the first half on such a good note. I mean, you give up the those two big plays, and they cut the game to 21-14, but then you end it on such a high, and you go in with all those momentum. You get the ball to start the second half, and the absolute worst thing that happened, you don't do anything on offense, and they drop down and score a touchdown. And then we give up the punt return late in the third quarter. So it's like, you know, good for Florida. Florida's a good football team. I'm not taking anything away from Florida, but that's just a situation where you just want to see LSU just step on a team strike. And it didn't happen, and it just became a rolling ball of just frustration for me in the third quarter. And the fact that we couldn't score an offensive touchdown, we couldn't. And kudos to Florida for making halftime adjustments. I don't know if it was a lot of that, or we just kind of went vanilla.
No, I don't think we went vanilla. I think, you know, Florida wasn't a bad football team. I mean, they're really not. They're going to beat. You know, they're going to wind up with a very good record in the season. Hell, they're still in control of the East. Think about it.
Without question. I mean, they're one win in a cocktail party away from basically
meeting up with us again.
Yeah, exactly. Without question.
The other thing you didn't get, you the wild card in this game was truly Treyon Harris for Florida. He played a good game. He didn't make stupid mistakes. I think McElwain kept him under control. Kind of the same thing, exact thing we do with Brandon Harris. He was under control, didn't do anything really out of whack, you know, just, okay, here, manage the game a little bit. And that was it, and that's what they did.
Yeah, and I was trying to explain this to Joe, I think on a drive there Saturday morning, that Trent Harris and Will Greer were splitting snaps early in the season. Like, they were both getting meaningful reps in games, and Joe, you know, he knows everything. I know, I can't wait for him to listen to the show because he's getting called out like three different times. He says, no, they were meaningless snaps. I'm like, no, Joe, they were splitting snaps. Will Greer took over when he got suspended for weed, and he never let go of it. He never relinquished it. They were pleased with him enough that he was the guy. So, I mean, Trent Harris started all last year, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, except for the game that we played.
With Driscoll. He was mixing it with Driscoll, and he eventually became the guy towards the end of that season. So the guy's a capable quarterback to throw a little miles away from that, a little capable.
Through the SEC rigors. He's been in big games before, so he wasn't used to that. You know, honestly, you want to talk about meaningless snaps, Joe Labatt. not that we're calling him out again. Anthony Jennings has the most meaningless snaps this year out of anybody.
Yeah, in that game against
come in and kneel down,
South Carolina. Yeah. So, nevertheless, and then the fake field goal. You know, what can you say? It was the right play at the right time, and hats off to Miles and the special teams unit for dialing that play up. I mean, which should have been a offensive touchdown to begin with, because Malachi Dupree was, and I watched the replay, it wasn't as bad as it looked like in the stands, but dude, you got to turn around for the football. That guy face guarded Dupree, that's pass interference. That's absolutely pass interference. He didn't. You know, rape him like it looked like from the stands, but that was pass interference, and we should have had the ball first and goal at that point. That's not spot fall in college, is it? It would have been half the distance.
But it would have been.
We were inside the 15.
Yeah, something like that. But it would have been an automatic first down.
Exactly. That was a second down. No, that was a first. That was after the Fournette run that put us inside the 15.
That's right.
Second down play, we lost 3 yards.
Well, what you going to say, though? I mean, Miles came out and, you know, he didn't play with – yeah, while we do play conservative and he runs the ball and our bread and butter is that, and against Western Kentucky, which we'll talk about probably in a second, you know, we're probably going to go back to the old school. We're just going to run and pound it out and get a win. This game, you know, I think I think Miles loves – this atmosphere, this big game thing. They don't know what he's going to do. He's unpredictable in these huge night games that we have in Tigers. Think about it. All the big night games that we've had, he's always tried to pull out something in these games. So I think he feeds off the atmosphere himself, besides listening to the Ghost Show.
I think it's a little bit of that too. And I wonder if it was, you know, I can't imagine you set up a third down play to run a fake field goal, but the third down call right before the fake field goal, I was livid. I was absolutely livid. And I couldn't even when he scored a touchdown on the field goal, I couldn't even cheer because I was still so, I guess part of me was embarrassed because I'm sitting there I think shocked. I mean, it's a third down call and we get a tight end screen. I mean, it wasn't no check down to the tight end. That was a design play, it looked like. But then we throw the fake field goal out, which he thank God he caught because he bobbled it. But, you know, they bobbled a couple passes and made some nice catches too. So that's just part of football. He had enough concentration and he had wide open. I mean, them ends were crashing in.
Oh, hell, and, without a doubt. They were determined to not give Fournette his yards, you know, or let him go off. He didn't go off other than the 25-yard run, but he still wound up with 180 and two touchdowns. So what are you going to
do? Yeah, right, yeah.
So, and I mean, everybody says he had a bad game.
Well, his lowest total year is 158, so...
Yeah,
I'll take 180 against a top 10 team, and especially against a top 10 defense all day long. I'll definitely take 180 in a couple of weeks. That's a free control.
Hey, what do you make of the whole situation though with Miles sending the tapes to the SEC about late hits and all that stuff after watching the replay?
So you got to look after your commodity. You got to protect your commodity.
Well, you heard him talk down Brandon Harris today. Miles came back and said, Harris, you know, basically in a nutshell, kind of just needs to be quiet. You know, he tweeted, you know, keep doubting me and stuff.
Oh, no, I didn't hear nothing about this.
Okay, well, anyway, Miles, I mean, he did it in a nice way, but you know how you coaches go to the media and say, you know, this and that, and mm-hmm. obviously you're always going to play with a chip on your shoulder, but basically kind of saying, Harris, you didn't even have to say anything right now. We just want to keep playing ball.
Yeah, just kind of, yeah. And Harris seems a little bit too level-headed to be doing things like that, but sometimes those guys that you think are level-headed take the Twitter a little bit too
much. Well, especially it's right after a big game. Your adrenaline's flowing. You're right. You're so pumped up, especially being a football player. I mean, you know it from playing football. After a football game, you make a huge hit. How pumped up are you? You ready to just talk smack? Hell, I do it after I play basketball sometimes.
Right. Oh, yeah. I've definitely a competitive person. I mean, we get –
I mean, podcast would know better than any of us about playing sports and talking like that.
The Pierre Paul Pimp knows all. I mean, we have a lot of fun. We have a lot of fun with our Holy Board games, but that's some of that crap gets pretty competitive. So, and that's on a much lesser scale, obviously. But, and I'm glad you brought Brandon Harris up because I was fixing it because we were talking about this whole game. We're not really talking about his performance, particularly in the first half. 10 of 12, 189 yards, two touchdowns. No, granted, he went. I think he was only 3 of 6, or 3 of 7 in the second half. But
then again, when we had that 14-point lead or whatever it was, we took the air out of it a little bit.
We did in the third quarter. We kind of went a little bit vanilla.
But at that point, they had to respect him because we were throwing the ball.
Yeah, at that point we had kind of established what we wanted to establish with the passing game, and that's something that you can look forward to. I think you're going to do a little bit of that on Saturday against Western Kentucky. You might not need to do a lot of it. And then you really game plan and you look at Bama as much as you can. But we can't look past this game on Saturday. I mean, they're coming in. I mean, a 6-1 record in Coosa, and a pretty good football team. But before we get into that, we'll kind of wrap up what we're talking about here with Florida. But you know, in the grand scheme of things, regardless of how bad the third quarter was, and you know, granted LSU's defense, you know, they gave up big plays, but at the end of the day, in the fourth quarter, they made plays when they had to make plays, and especially on defense. Lewis Neal was a beast on Saturday.
Oh, without a doubt.
Ten tackles, three sacks. You know, the secondary can fine tune some things, and hopefully with Jalen Mills back, that'll hopefully kind of correct some things. But this defense is getting after the quarterback. They've got, I think, now through six games, I want to say 17 or 18 sacks in a year. versus 11 all year last year. So,
well, I mean, I think you can attribute that to a defensive line coach, honestly. I mean, I know we always say, yeah, whatever, but he's a damn good defensive line coach.
He is. I mean, yeah. He's not going to get a head coaching job and get promoted to an interim coaching job at USC without being solid. I mean, we all know about his recruiting capabilities, but he's also a good coach, and he also knows how to get the most out of his defensive line coach. He knows how to get the most out of his defensive line. He is and players respond to him because he is a guy. He's a fiery guy. I mean, I had an offensive line coach that was a fiery guy, and we responded to him. I mean, it was awesome to have a guy like that, you know, backing you and coaching you, you know, during a week and getting really pumped up and emotional on game nights on Fridays. So, you know, but yeah, I think, and I can't remember if he, I don't know if we sacked the quarterback any more than what Lewis Neal did. I just know he had three. I don't know if he accounted for all of them.
I don't remember myself.
Yeah, but grand scheme of things, it's a victory over a good football team, an SEC team, and we're still undefeated. We're undefeated in the conference. We got Western Kentucky. We cannot look past. Then a bye week. Then we run. Then we got to run the November gauntlet.
And the one negative, though, the one negative. We didn't bring it up, but you know what it is. The daggone special teams. Still.
It continues, yeah. And then coverage.
You know, we are, 127th in the nation in punt return, giving up an average?
Yeah, we're giving up like 24 yards a game.
There's only 128 teams.
I know.
How do you do that as a top five team?
I don't know. You can't remain undefeated without improving.
Especially not against Alabama.
No. As the games get closer, that's going to come back. That's going to come and hit. That's going to come and bite you. You know, something needs to improve there. And
I think just a Miles getting involved in the special teams coaching thing. I think that's all.
We did see some touchbacks and kickoffs. So
we did see that.
That's a plus. That's a plus.
Progress. Hey, bottom line is we beat a top 10 team. It was a good game. Had a little fun there. Let's move on.
Yep, Western Kentucky. This has got to be homecoming. Yeah, obviously. It's the last non-conference game. So Western Kentucky comes to town. Kusa, 6-1. Very highly touted passing game with a six-year senior quarterback in Brandon Doughty.
Six-year? Good Lord. Yeah,
dude's like 37 years old. He's like
my age. He went to college longer than I did.
Yeah. He's right on par with me. So anyway, Podcast said off air before we started, y'all better have numbers pulled up. Podcast, you want numbers? I got numbers.
Oh, smack.
Six and one overall. But Saley, I don't know who they only lost us to. 6-1 overall. They're 4-0 in conference. Brandon Doughty, something like 400 yards a game. He's got 2,400 yards passing, with 24 touchdowns, 4 interceptions. He's freaking Tom Brady in 2008. I mean, 2007. I'm sorry. He's throwing up video game numbers, and I mean, they got an air raid attack. They got a nice young up and coming coach there, and I think his name is Jeff Braum. So I mean, a really good football team. We don't have a guest tonight, so me and Pat's gonna
be Hilltopper fans for about 2 seconds.
We're gonna break down the Hilltoppers like no other LSU podcast can. That's for sure.
Because no other podcast will.
Then one loss to Indiana, a Big Ten team, a Big Ten plus two team, 38-35. Won a close game with Vanderbilt to start the season. I think that was opening Thursday night.
Oh yeah, now I remember. Yes, okay.
That was Western Kentucky. But yeah, they're throwing up some points there. Last two games, 58 and 55, respectfully, against Middle Tennessee State and North Texas. They give up some points, too. They're giving up about 24 points a game, which is about what LSU gives up. But yards, they give up something like 450. And I don't have the breakdown passing versus
defense. I wish we did have a guest to kind of tell us what their D-line is like and the linebackers, you know, how they are against the run and whatnot. Obviously, there's no secret to this. We know what we're going to try and do against them.
I mean, it's without question. And we know what LSU has to do to achieve success against them defensively. We got to try to limit the big plays, You know, bend don't break. The dude's gonna pass for some yards. They're gonna score some points, but LSU just needs to score more points than them. It's a 16.5-point spread. LSU's been consistently putting up 35, 40 points a game, pretty much every game they've played in, with the exception of Mississippi State. So, you know, it's going to be a lot of Fournette. I'd be interested to see how much we open it up early, just to kind of maybe get some things going, test their defensive secondary, kind of see what kind of looks they're going to give us. You know, are they going to let Fournette have his yards and try to shut down everything else, or are they going to do what every other team does and stack the box and see what Brandon Harris can do? That's the main key. But you talk about two totally different teams in this, as far as their approach on offense.
Well, it's like pick your poison for them. I mean, okay, yeah, go ahead and stop Fournette. Basically, we've established we can throw the ball. We need to. We got some receivers that are coming along and, you know, starting to make some plays. You know, or let's stop the receivers, give him his yardage. You know what? He's going to break two of them for 50-plus at that point. What do you do?
Right. Yeah. And just to give you that breakdown on their defense, 438 yards a game, 265 through the air. They don't have the running. I don't see the rushing broke down, but you can pretty much just subtract it and figure it out to be about 170.
Yep.
173, something like that. You know, on the ground. So that's, you know, there's some yards to be had on both, you know, both passing and running. So, offensively, they don't pose a threat rushing the football. Their leading rusher, I think, is 300 yards. I don't think they even really try to run the football all that much.
So the key is, do we sit back in secondary coverage and play a little zone action and just let our front three or four go after it? Or do we try and just bring some pressure on him and make him get rid of the ball quick?
You got to get pressure on him some kind of way. You got to make him uncomfortable in the pocket. Big game atmosphere. You know, the last time the guy played a road game against a top team. They were talking about this on the radio earlier. I'm Moscone Show in Baton Rouge. I want to say it was maybe A&M or something, maybe even before they joined the SEC when he was real young. And he didn't fare too well.
You're right. That was 6 years ago, huh?
Yeah. He didn't fare too well. I mean, he's a six-year senior now and playing good football. So, you know, a team at LSU, you know, they can't, and LSU has no right to be lackadaisical on defense with the big plays are giving up. So if they are, shame on. That goes to, you got to look at your coordinators in that aspect. And but your secondary needs to be ready to play. And that hopefully with Mills back out in the practice field, you got some leadership. They do some things, and the big plays, it's just not the secondary. It's about missing some coverages and some other things. I think.
Oh, hell, we had linebackers not pulling right off and doing right their thing.
Yeah,
you know what? But that's, think about this in the past with LSU. Our best defenses have always had that one safety to control things back there. Right. Even Jack Hunt.
Exactly.
You know, but he was back there. Go here. Get over there. Do this, because he's seeing the whole field. He's a quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
That's what he is. We haven't. While we do have experience back there, Jalen Mills, I think, is that guy. We're going, all right, here you go. Here, you get over here. Boom, boom. Jamal Adams, you go make the play. I'm going to call out everything.
Right. Yeah. And Jamal Adams is the guy who's going to make the play. He'll be that Jalen Mills guy in a year. But right now, he's the guy that's going to be making. He's the ball hawk. Over the middle, over the top, and got some good corners. But right now, you know, Tolliver's, you know, getting out of position a couple times. I mean, he's a good cover corner when he's one-on-one, man-on-man, but in a different zone matchups and things like that, he's falling out of position in some plays.
They're young. They're young, but they got to learn.
Ricky Jefferson a couple of times. On the one that set up the touchdown at the end of the second half, he undercut that route, and I don't know why he didn't even make a play on the ball. I don't know what he was thinking. I don't know if he thought the ball was going to go out of bounds, if he thought the ball was too long, but he just kind of looked like he just kind of stopped and just kind of cut under the receiver instead of jumping up and trying to make a play.
Yeah, I'm almost thinking he misjudged the ball by the angle that he took. You know, thinking
it
was going to come short.
It's all things that can be fixed. It's not, you know, it's not a lack of. It's definitely not a lack of talent. It's a lack of, you know, knowing where you need to be in a field. Yeah, awareness. Knowing where you need to be in a field. And I mean, we've seen the secondary make decent plays throughout the year, and you know, just but they've been just susceptible to big plays here and there. We saw it against Syracuse. But at the same time, we don't give up a whole lot of yards. We just kind of have a tendency to give up that one big play for a touchdown. But you can't just chalk it up to, you know, oh, shucks, whoops. I mean, eventually it could come back.
Whoops, against Alabama, you lose the game.
Yeah, it's going to cost us the game. We can't afford to let that happen against a quarterback like Jake Coker, you know. And this is a good test for LSU. This guy is going to, you know, they'll probably get ready to sit in the stadium for 4.5 hours. You know, it's just gonna be,
one thing I'm going to tell you that we're going to see the return of this game that we haven't seen in a few games, the jet sweep.
You think so?
Oh, yeah.
You calling for it?
We're going to show it again just to show preparing for the next game. We're going to show a couple different looks.
Just to give Alabama something to think about.
Yep.
Okay.
They're just calling it. Les, you can listen to me. Do what you got
to
do.
I'll take that to the bank.
You got it.
So, but by our standards, we call for the flea flicker, what, like week two?
So, we talked about it. I think we talked about it last week or the week before.
We may have. So I'm saying there's like a 3 or 4 week window where this actually might come true. So,
exactly. So we're good.
So by Arkansas A&M, hey, we're solid.
We are there.
We're solid. So what else we need to talk about? What else you want to know about Western Kentucky, Patrick? I got it all right here, man.
Well, it's the Hilltoppers. The history of the school is, and the most famous alum was, and although our managing editor should probably have their most famous alum. Maybe he'll give that to us by the end of the show.
We already got him with the mascot name. We knew the mascot name.
Yeah, you're right. So you're right. He's done. He's got nothing for us tonight.
He's packed it in. He's like, just get through this damn show.
So basically, I think we've called out everybody at our tailgate. We've talked about LSU, Florida. We've become Western Kentucky Hilltopper fans for like 3 minutes, just till we can break them down.
Historians.
I think we're good.
Western Kentucky Hilltopper historians. That's what we are.
I think we are good.
Now, you want to hear some other stuff? Okay, here we go. Leading receiver, Taylor. I don't have his first name yet. I'm trying to pull up his first name.
We'll just call him Taylor.
I'm calling him Taylor. Here we go. Oh my gosh. Taywan Taylor.
All right.
45 receptions, 825 yards. He is the Leonard Fournette of their receiving corps. 10 touchdown. Yeah, I said 10 touchdown receptions. 825 yards, 45 receptions. And they throw the ball. You know, see, I'm trying to figure out. I'm trying to find, like,
the spread. How many total attempts did they throw in the ball?
I'm trying to figure out, like, how many different receivers they get the ball to. Like who's the second leading receiver is what I'm trying to figure out here. But I'm unsuccessful on that, so we're not going to worry about that.
No. We'll just have to move on from there.
We'll give up on that. I already talked about their running back. The leading running back has 300 yards rushing. So, I mean, rushing is not their main priority. They're throwing the football. They throw for like 407 yards a game. They have 535 yards of offense. So you do the math on that.
You know, other than that, I got nothing. We just need to play the game.
Yeah, I mean, we know what the game plan is. I mean, it's simple. It's you know, we talked about it in great detail. So let's do some picks.
Let's do some picks. I'm ready.
They got some interesting spreads. They got some interesting spreads this week. The Anna Valley Shook Go Show Pick'em, brought to you by Anna Valley Shook and Go Show. You can compete. If you're not signed up yet, if you listen to the show for the first time or you've been listening all season, and you said, man, they talk about this Pick'em thing every week, and I'm too lazy to sign up. You know, take some time. Go to AnnaValleyShook.com. Podcast probably posted the link.
Bring your smartphone to the bathroom during work one day. Get there in 5 minutes. You know, pretend whatever you're doing.
FunOfficePools.com. But if you go to AnnaValleyShook.com, it's linked. Podcast probably posted the link yesterday. It's usually posted either Monday night or sometime on Tuesday. We picked about 12 games against the spread, compete for weekly prizes and a season-ending prize. So just because you join late doesn't mean you won't win the season-ending prize, but you can still get some nice
– You get a weekly prize, unless you win every game without losing one until the end of the season.
I don't think it goes by winning percentage. It might. You might have to win a certain amount of games.
No, I'm not talking about that, but you could probably catch up in wins if you win every single game and don't lose one.
That would be impressive.
That would be impressive.
So, I'm struggling here. I'm trying to find. Here we go. So we're not picking all 12 games. We always pick about 5 or 6, 7, but a couple of interesting spreads. And I'm surprised, and it almost had to do a double take because I don't I'm wondering if this is even right, but I'm gonna take the word for it right here. So I'm gonna start right here with the most interesting one I saw. It just jumps right off the page, Patrick.
I'm telling you, it's jumping.
Utah, number three in the country.
Yep.
Some say a virtual lock for the college football playoff at the end of the season. Going to USC, Southern Cal. Their coach is an alcoholic. Well, their former coach is an alcoholic. Who needs help, by the way? I'm not making light of alcoholics. Sorry. Getting 3.5 points, Pat.
They're getting 3.5 at USC. Yeah.
So basically, what they're saying, this is a pick'em. They're saying this is a pick'em game on a neutral field.
Well, you know what?
I'm talking about a lack of respect for Utah.
Well, you know what's a lack of respect for? Because you know what's weird about this game? That the next coach at USC is coming in there as an underdog.
Right.
So that's what I think. And I think he's going to prove it that he's worth, you know, not worthy because he's damn good coach. But, and I don't know if he drinks or not, but no offense. but I'll take Utah in this one because now they got an underdog role and they're a good team.
Yeah, I couldn't get over when I saw this prep. Yeah, give me Utah. Shit, I'll make a bet with somebody. Give me Utah in 15, and I'll take Utah.
Unless somebody in Vegas knows something we don't know about some kind of injury that's coming up or something, man.
I don't know, man.
That's crazy.
When USC wins 24-20, you know, front office pool guy's going to email me and laugh at me, you know, for blasting his point spread. Then I don't know where front office pool gets their point spreads from, but they run relatively close to the Vegas odds. So, I mean, okay. But yeah, give me Utah. I'm confused by that spread. I am. So,
if it had been the other way around, I might've taken USC.
The plus 3.5.
Uh-huh.
I can see that. All right. Let's go to the ACC. Let's shift coast.
Oh, let's just do that.
We'll just drive across the other side of the coast and go Pittsburgh. And I'm only bringing up this game because they're playing Syracuse at Syracuse. Syracuse getting 6.5. They have not won a game since LSU beat them. It kind of went the opposite way that I wanted it to go. I wanted to see them kind of maybe perhaps play well, you know, after they took LSU down to the wire. Now, granted, LSU, a couple penalties here and there. LSU wins that game by 24 points if you wipe out those.
And they threw everything they had at LSU. They had
14 penalties. But regardless, they have not won a game since they played LSU. They went into that game 3-0. LSU beat them. They're now 3-3, which LSU has a tendency to do to teams. We've benched a quarterback. We've retired a coach. And, you know.
We're doing pretty good there.
Huh? That's how we roll. But anyway, Syracuse getting 6.5 at home. I'm picking entirely with the heart here, Patrick, and I'm picking Syracuse because I want them to do something well, you know, just to make LSU look a little bit better, you know.
Yeah, as much as I'd like them to. In honor of the old stash from a long time ago at Pittsburgh, I'm going
right.
to Pittsburgh.
You going?
I don't know. I just gotta pick Pittsburgh.
Pitt's playing good football. They're 5-1. They're ranked in the top 25, probably since the first time since the Juan stash.
Oh man!
So just taking a wild guess.
That pick pains me too, but you're right.
Right? Yeah, it does. It does. Let's go ahead and this.
Is this like a dead weekend in college football?
A little bit. There ain't much. I mean, Clemson and Miami, blah.
Yeah.
Florida State and Georgia Tech. Georgia Tech's probably the biggest disappointment of the year next to Auburn or Arkansas. Actually, Auburn and Arkansas are probably sending thank you notes to Georgia Tech.
Oh, without a doubt.
And Paul Johnson. So, I don't want to talk about that game. So, let's just go SEC games the rest of the way. And let's start with that Auburn and Arkansas. They're playing this weekend, by the way. It's in Arkansas. Arkansas's 2-4 versus a 4-2 Auburn team, who, you know, for all intents and purposes, you know, minus a late close loss to Mississippi State would be 5-1. But that Jacksonville State, whatever the name of the team was, that game brings up, you know, kind of gives people a bad taste in their mouth, and LSU, you know,
just pounded
laying the wood to them like it did. But nevertheless, Auburn getting 5.5 at Arkansas, Pat.
You know what though? I think Auburn, you know, maybe they're kind of solidified their QB situation. They sticking with one guy. Seems to be running the team a little bit better. You know what? I can't pick Bielema. I can't do it. He's an idiot. So I'm picking Auburn in this game.
No, there's no way. I'm not saying Arkansas won't win this. Might not win this game, but 5.5 points. No, give me Auburn. Give me Auburn all day. Give me Auburn all day in that one. So,
exactly.
Right. Okay. Since Alabama's the next LSU opponent, we'll do that one. The big, of course, the West-East rivalry that they had to just keep because Alabama is going to keep that as long as they can because Tennessee sucks, and they want that easy East win every year. Tennessee getting 16.5 in Tuscaloosa at Bryant Denny. Patrick, he wants to pick Tennessee, but I don't know. I'm going Bama. Going you Bama at 16.5. It could end up being a close game, but
Tennessee so daggone disappoints me this year. But
they play close games. They play close
they
games.
They play that's close the games.
That's the kicker.
All right, I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to pick Tennessee, thinking they're not going to win, but deep down I'm going to wish for them to win. There you go.
Okay, I'm sticking with Alabama just because that's the football gods hate LSU, and Alabama's going to, you know, their dynasty is on. You know, let me divert for a second. And I heard something great today from a caller on the Feinbaum show who honestly didn't even have it was not an Alabama homer. It was actually made a lot of sense. And he said, how come when Ole Miss played Alabama and Alabama turned the ball over 5 times, Ole Miss got lucky. But when Alabama gets all those turnovers against A&M this past weekend, oh, Alabama's just a great football team. They're the best football team in the country. Isn't that funny how that works?
Isn't it funny how that works?
They beat a Georgia team who freaking barely beat Missouri and blew a 21-point lead to freaking Tennessee, and all of a sudden they are anointed the best team in the country again. And I'm not saying they're not good. They are good.
But let's
let the season freaking play out now, okay?
Tell you what, let's let November 7th determine that.
Right. Let's take care of the Hilltops first.
Exactly.
Anyway, but you're taking Tennessee. I'm taking Alabama. Let's move on.
Okay.
Missouri Vanderbilt. I ain't talking about that one. I don't care about that one. A&M and Ole Miss. Okay. There you go. Good quick call on that one. Here you go. In a game for two teams who Ole Miss has now lost two straight. A&M coming off that loss. Three pick sixes thrown by Kyle Allen. Against Alabama. Alabama going to Fort Hemingway. A&M getting 6.5 there, Patrick. I picked Ole Miss. And I think Ole Miss might roll A&M in this game.
Yeah, it was the formula to beat A&M is there easily. I think so, too. I think Kandipe, whatever, is going to be back from his concussion, I think. So, yeah, I'm going with Ole Miss in this. God, I hate saying that.
Yeah, me too. If there's one team I hate more than anybody else, it's Ole Miss, which has been clearly stated.
You know what
the
they're going to do? They're going to screw us both. They're going to screw us both on this by picking them.
Yeah.
Which I'm okay with in a way too. I don't know.
Right. Yeah. But A&M. This is the game for both teams that need to kind of. If A&M wins this game, they still have a shot because LSU beats Alabama and they doesn't in a year. Guess who's going to the SEC championship game?
A&M. Without a doubt.
Assuming they win out too. If they win this game on Saturday, so they still have a lot to play for. Ole Miss is
Well, one of these teams is going to be put out the pasture after this game. This is a do or die game for both of them.
Well, because Ole Miss only has one conference loss, so they lost to Memphis. Which, by the way, let's collectively laugh at that real quick. I didn't tell you to laugh like Chase. I just said.
He was the only person we haven't called out of the tailgate so far. So,
so all right. So yeah, so they only have one conference loss. So yeah, this is a big game for both. And it doesn't really change the way I'm picking it in any way, shape, or form. So I'm going Ole Miss, as are you. We agree on that one.
Yep. Yeah, I'm kind of pulling actually for. But even so, I'm pulling kind of for A&M to win this. in the long run, because even though I'm picking Ole Miss, because if Ole Miss loses, they're out of the picture. They're done.
So you think they're packing in? Yeah, okay.
Completely. Well, and then we have A&M well coming to our on. Place. You see what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah, I agree with you. I'm, you know, I would like an A&M victory, too. And because, yeah, if a matchup with A&M and LSU with everything on the line would be pretty cool.
Oh, yeah.
Assuming we take care of business the rest of the way.
Assuming, yes.
Right, which leads us to Western Kentucky and LSU.
Woohoo!
We talked about it earlier, 16.5-point spread. You said earlier you like LSU by 20. Has anything we discussed throughout the duration of the show changed that?
Yeah, now I like LSU by 24.
Okay. This might go the opposite way. Like, everybody, you know, anybody would have a brain, you know, that's watched our defense and knows anything about this Western Kentucky team, thinks LSU is going to give up some points and it's going to be very touch and go, and LSU is going to win by only about 10 or 14. It could completely go in the opposite direction. LSU can just come out and just play, be world beaters, and win this game by 35.
That's a tune-up.
Yeah, I don't see it happening. I'm going to go on the other side of that, Patrick, and continue to pick against LSU like I've been doing. Although I did pick them last week, and it worked out barely by half a point. I'm on that side with Podcat. With Podcat talking about it off the air, as far as, you know, I think this team's going to score points. LSU's going to score points too, but 16's a big number against a very good offense, like a very good passing game, against an unsure defensive secondary right now. You know, let's hope I'm wrong. You know, I hope LSU wins by 42. So, because we got all the kids, and I know they're going to want to leave early. And if this game's close, I'm not going to want to leave.
Well, that's right. You're bringing all the kiddies this game.
Yeah, but you know what? They're going to be in a separate car anyway. You should, too. You got two extra tickets now.
No, I'm bringing the wife and the kid.
Okay, there you go.
There you go.
So, I'm going Western Kentucky. The score I picked in the tiebreak, I'm going to pick them 42-27. Patrick, you got a score?
Okay, I got a score of 49-21.
That's not 24 points. So you just went up three
more
points.
I gave two extra. You keep convincing me to keep going.
Good. I'm good. I like your confidence. I like when your confidence is high, it usually bodes well. So, and when I'm pessimistic,
Mr. Negative.
When I'm pessimistic, it usually bodes well. So I'm gonna be negative. I'm gonna be negative this whole game to see if Joe will just throw me over the railing. Because we're sitting in the East Upper. So
oh, that's a long way down.
It's a long way up. You ever walk them too. Ramps?
No, I don't. I don't sit up there.
Oh, they suck. We did it last year. They suck. I'm not looking forward to it. And there's no sense in waiting for the elevator because that's freaking 2 miles long.
Oh,
yeah, them ramps. That's a long freaking walk. But you know, we'll manage.
I guess you will.
We will somehow strive on, as we always do, as LSU fans and loyal tailgating enthusiasts.
So, what else we got?
We got a bye week next week, so we need to take care of business. I need to feel good about this Tuscaloosa game because it's on. We're I'm looking to piss off some neighbors in a couple of weeks here with a party at the house. If we win, we're getting the cops called on us. I guarantee you, because we ain't going to bed. So,
good idea.
I know it's a good idea. I'm feeling pretty good. So and let's be honest with you. I'm hosting my first LSU football game. Is it really going to end badly? I don't think so.
Well, except maybe the wife.
But anyway, let's take care of business first. Well, let's beat Western Kentucky. Let's be up by 24 at halftime so I can go to Gaddy's.
Going Gaddy's. Let's go.
So we need to. You know, so we'll do that. And on that note, I think we're done. And Podcat breathes a sigh of relief.
Thank God.
Once again, sorry to our loyal fans. I hope you enjoyed me and Pat's excellent prognostications about the Western Kentucky Hilltoppers. I hope you learned a few things about their passing game, their leading wide receiver, their lack of a running game, our continued improvement in the passing game, hopefully our improvement in the secondary with Jalen Mills coming back full health. And I'd like to see Leonard Fournette and Darius Geis break 150 again, kind of like they did against South Carolina. They both
That'd
break
be
one,
nice.
that they both rate 150. This boats pretty well for LSU.
The only question we leave unanswered with this whole night is, are they going to have a new starting quarterback? Is their coach going to retire? Or what's going to happen after the game?
Yeah, we tend to do that. So we're still waiting for the shoe to drop with Florida. What's going to happen with them?
Well, they had a player that's going to be out the rest of the year. They announced it today. I forgot who it was.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, I feel bad for that. We got Dylan Gordon's out for the year for us too. That kind of sucks. Yeah. He's a good blocking tight end.
So yes, he was.
That means John David Moore's return is even more imminent now. It needs to happen. But I got faith in our backups to do a fine job. You just hate losing a guy like that. But it is what it is, Patrick Morris. I'll see you Saturday.
Oh, well, sounds like a plan.
Anybody else listening? You know where we at. Where we at, Patrick?
We are on Tower Drive right in front of Coates Hall. Look for the banner.
Homecoming parade this week.
Not in front of us.
Not in front of us anymore. That's right. So, yeah, look for our – maybe I'll even make it to the freaking academy and get some tie straps so we can actually put up our banner this week.
There we go.
But we'll have the Anna Valley Shook banner flying. You can't miss podcast. He's the guy that doesn't leave his chair with a big beard and on his laptop and talking to fine-ass Twitter chicks apparently now.
Apparently so. It's what 140,000 tweets will get you.
Podcast, tell her to come back and bring some friends. That would be cool.
I'll work on it.
Thank you. Hey, we got to talk.
I got something for you.
Uh-oh. You got something for us?
Uh-huh. Famous former Western Kentucky football player.
Oh, there he is. Here we go.
Do you remember Rod Smart?
You mean the XFL Rod Smart?
I mean, he hate me, yes.
He hate me?
Him?
Western Kentucky alone.
Wow.
All right.
Well, we had to stretch for that one, but that's pretty damn
good.
You don't get
freaking analysis like this anywhere else.
That's why we're here, man.
That's exactly right. For podcast pushing buttons behind the scenes, the Pierpont Pimp, Cajun Billy D. Williams. He is at Valley Shook. Patrick Morris, where are you?
At Cat Godfather.
I'm Kerry. I am at Go Show Kerry. You know how to spell it by now. I don't have to repeat it. You loyal listeners, we thank y'all. We will see y'all next week. We won't see y'all next week. We will talk to y'all next week. You will hear us next week. Go Tigers. Come out to the tailgate if you're out there. Come say hi. We have no good food this week because we're keeping it pretty low key. Yep. That's it. Hey, man. Good show, everybody. Good night now. Bye. We'll be right back.